This is The Book Show, where today it's all about pandemics. And of course, viruses have been a part of our lives for millennia. So it makes sense that many authors have written stories featuring pandemics, ranging from thrillers to literary fiction. So I wonder if they can provide some insight into what's happening around the world right now. Australian authors Laura Jean McKay and Jack Heath have both written novels with a flu virus at the centre, and they couldn't have been more prescient. Hello to you both.
Hi, Claire.
Hello.
So I guess I need to check in first and see how you're both coping with these changed times. How are you, Jack?
I'm not too bad. I'm self-isolating at the moment. Probably unnecessarily, but, you know, every doctor I know is telling even healthy people to stay home from work if they possibly can. So typically my writing routine involves going to my local cafe or the library or something where there's people around, where if I need a new character, I can just go, oh, that person's funny looking, and write them into my book. But at the moment I'm working from home, and I'm certainly seeing the silver lining of getting to spend more time with my wife. And so, yeah, I'm okay.
I'm glad to hear it. Laura, how are you going?
Not too bad, thanks, Claire. I've just started living in New Zealand recently, and here it feels like the calm before the storm. I rather feel like I'm in a scene from Neville Shoots on the Beach, where we know that something's coming, but everything's okay at the moment. And it's quite a strange sensation, especially as I have friends and family in Australia and around the world who are really, really already struggling with isolation and shortages and all the things that come with a pandemic.
Yeah, and indeed, earlier in the show, we've been speaking to writers in France and Italy and America, so writers who feel like they're perhaps even a little bit further in the future than we are here in Australia at the moment. But Laura, let's start with your book, because both of you, your books deal with viruses. Laura, your book, The Animals in That Country, can you tell me why you decided to write about a virus?
Yes, I actually wrote a novel about humans and animals communicating with each other. But just as I had started to write, a mosquito bit me in Indonesia, and I got this strange disease called chikungunya. And health workers describe chikungunya as dengue on crack. It's quite an intense illness. And so as I was writing, the book seemed to sort of catch the illness, and it made sense for these characters to share a rapidly spreading flu, one that creeps up the country and changes their perception of the whole world. So I certainly didn't set out to write about an epidemic or a pandemic, but as they do, it just seemed to arrive. And once it was there, it didn't stop.
What about you, Jack? Your book, The Cutout, a book for teenagers, came out in 2015. This is a spy book, but it had a coronavirus in it. Why did you want to write about a coronavirus?
I think, so I started writing the book in 2012 for NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month, and because of that, I was kind of just leaping on things that I was familiar with. And one of the things that I had grown up with, so I had spent a lot of time growing up reading books about zombies, you know, zombie epidemics. That was popular when I was a young man, and still is, I gather. But also there was this wonderful book by Brian Caswell called The View from Ararat, which is an Australian book, but it's set on another planet, but where a spaceship from Earth has just arrived with some people with a disease on board. And it was a disease that literally turned people to stone. It kind of crystallized them. And the scenes in the book that really struck me, this was something that I read as a teenager, but it was the quarantine scenes that that I found the most compelling, the way that there were people who didn't have the disease but nevertheless got quarantined, and then because they were quarantined amongst all these other people, they ended up catching the disease and dying anyway. And of course then the quarantine breaks down and the disease escapes either way, so nothing much gets accomplished. So when I was writing The Cutout, I needed, the book is set 5 years after a coronavirus has been successfully contained by the government using brutal but efficient methods. And all the people who died, the government has kind of deflected blame for those deaths to an adjacent country. I was just interested in the way viral epidemics kind of turned friends into enemies and sometimes enemies into allies, because, you know, you can love someone and then they get sick and then suddenly they're a danger to you, even though they don't intend to be. and vice versa. If you get sick, there's this sort of pressure on you to keep it a secret. During the pandemic that we're going through right now, you don't want to cough in public, even if you're doing the right thing and coughing into your elbow or whatever. There's this sense suddenly that everyone hates you for showing any sign of illness, because suddenly you're a danger to them. So that sort of secrecy and conflict, I feel, just makes for really compelling fiction.
Jack, how much research did you actually have to do into coronavirus to put a novel like that together?
Not quite as much as I expected, because in part, when I had never heard of coronavirus when I started doing my research into the book, but I had heard of swine flu and bird flu, and I had heard of SARS, and I had was vaguely aware of something called MER, and I soon realized that all of these, perhaps not all of them, but most of them were one form or other of the coronavirus. Anyway, it was a useful disease to me as a fiction writer because it was very contagious. So I did a lot of reading, and as always happens with all of my books, most of my research ended up on the cutting room floor, and it's just described as simply a coronavirus with none of the interesting facts that I discovered during my research, because it's a spy novel and we didn't want to slow it down with a bunch of medical talk.
Laura, have you seen parallels between what's happening in the real world and what happens in your book?
It has been quite terrifying. I was recently in Sydney recording the audiobook, and I was reading out scenes where people were fighting over resources in supermarkets. There was a big fight over a can of Spam. There were charts with huge red blotches of the flu creeping up the country in the novel. And then I would go outside and see things on the news that were directly relating to the novel. Most recently, it was planes being grounded, a lot of the flights grounding the international fleets, and that's very similar to what happens in the book. I would much preferred it to have been that the animals started talking to us. I think that would be a much more interesting and pleasant experience. I never imagined... I don't think my imagination stretched far enough to be able to cope with what is actually happening outside. And it's been quite hard to distinguish between some scenes in the novel and some scenes in the news for me. I'm finding fiction and reality are starting to mesh together in a scary way.
Yeah, and I had wondered if writing a novel about a flu pandemic might better prepare you for the world out there. Jack, have you found this helpful in any way for you to be mentally prepared for this?
This is something that I grapple with quite a lot, actually. I think most writers, we're not in it just for the money. We're often trying to explore something, or we're trying to console ourselves from something that already bothers us. So me, as a generally anxious person, I kind of write about worst case scenarios all the time, and sometimes it makes me feel better because I've got the thoughts out of my head and onto the page, and then I can feel a little bit better about them because I'm not ignoring them anymore, right? But then you find yourself in a position where you have trained yourself to think only about worst case scenarios because that's what makes good fiction. But because my brain is sort of full of all this horrible information that I deliberately seeked out during my research, like the more horrible the details, the more useful they were to me, I sort of, in a pandemic, I'm the worst person to talk to because I'm the worst person to be because I'm just sitting there thinking about what if this happens, what if this happens, what if this happens. So that's an important skill for a writer to have, that it makes you utterly helpless in a disaster.
Does reading help, Jack? And would you be reading a novel like yours right now?
Probably not. My publisher will hate me for saying that. But so reading definitely helps for me. And one of the things about, everybody staying home, it is my sincere hope that the people who are staying home or quarantined or just trying to practice some social distancing, that they spend their time reading books instead of just scrolling through Facebook and feeling more and more and more and more anxious and angry. And even the cutout, the novel that I wrote, as I said, it's largely a spy novel with just the coronavirus in the background. So that's great if you like spy novels, but personally, I would be trying to read something that had nothing whatsoever to do with diseases or epidemiology or virology.
Yet there will be some people who will be reaching for pandemic novels to make sense of the world. Laura, I wonder what people might get from reading a piece of fiction about a pandemic right now.
I'm also so interested to find out who will be reading The Animals in That Country and who will want something else, and also very interested to find out whether people will be reading it for the pandemic side of it or whether they want the escapist side of finding out what other animals are saying. And I'm like Jack at the moment. I'm reading a book that hasn't yet come out, Madeline Ryan's A Room Called Earth, which is basically about a woman who goes to a party, which is what we all wish we could do right now. But I'm also starting to turn my mind to some books that I hadn't got to while I was writing my own book, like Emily St. John Mandel's Station 11 and Meg Bundell's The Trespassers, and even rereading Alexis Wright's The Swan book, because in a way I want to be part of that world and to seek answers from these brilliant authors about how we can perhaps frame this strange new world that we're living in.
Well, I won't check your hands, but I will send a Wuhan foot tap down the line to you both. Laura Jean McKay and Jack Heath, take care.
Thank you. You as well. Stay safe.
Laura Jean McKay's debut novel, The Animals in That Country, was set to be launched this April. The events aren't on, but you can still read the book. The ebook is out right now. And Jack Heath's The Cutout is published by Allen & Unwin. Also keep an eye out for his Hangman trilogy. I'm Claire Nichols. And if that conversation has inspired you to pick up a piece of Contagion Lit, here's a few more recommendations for you, courtesy of the Australian author Bram Presser.
So first up, probably one of my all-time favourite books, and that's Blindness by the Portuguese Nobel Prize laureate José Saramago. It's set in the author's home country, and it tells of an unexplained and sudden epidemic of, as you might have guessed from the title, blindness that sweeps through the capital city. It's tightly woven around the experiences of a few characters who are early sufferers, and they're first quarantined to an asylum, and then as the epidemic spreads and they escape, the book follows their quest to survive on the outside. Blindness, to me, is the natural successor to Camus' masterpiece, The Plague. And while it is bleak and harrowing, it offers, I suppose, at least a glimmer of hope towards the end. Next up, one of the best recent novels of its kind, Severance by Ling Ma. I think of this book as if Mike Judge's Office Space and Dawn of the Dead had a book baby. As the world succumbs to a mysterious virus, our protagonist Candace Chen remains committed to her crappy job. She comes into the office each day to find fewer and fewer of her colleagues at their desks, which is something I'm guessing a lot of us can relate to. In alternating chapters, we also see Candace after she's escaped the city and joined a band of survivors in search of this fabled, refuge called The Facility. Severance is a great adventure, but it's an even better commentary on the stupidity of our modern times. I'm going a bit obscure now with Swedish author Torny Lindgren's brilliant novel Light. In this one, it's a pregnant rabbit that causes all the havoc. She carries the contagion for what's called the Great Sickness to the village of Cadus and wipes out most of its inhabitants. Six people survive, and while they initially band together in the hope of rebuilding the town and humanity, things pretty quickly go pear-shaped, and they turn on one another in increasingly paranoid and sick ways. Light is kind of a stark reminder that if we don't stop to consider our neighbours, then hoarding toilet paper is only the beginning of our problems. Next up is one that I think lots of people seem to have forgotten, and that is Philip Roth's late career stunner, Nemesis, about a polio epidemic that struck New Jersey back in 1944. It revolves around Bucky Cantor, who is a counsellor at a kid's summer camp, anxiously awaiting the epidemic to reach the camp gates. It's a brilliant meditation on the emotional toll of pestilence, and I don't know why people don't talk about this book. To me, it should be counted amongst Roth's greatest novels. Last but not least, a great local spec fiction novel from just last year, actually, and that's The Trespassers by Meg Mundell. Talk about timely. Mundell is like an Australian Nostradamus, I don't know. The book is about a pandemic which breaks out on a boat full of refugees who are fleeing a country decimated by war and disease and who land on the coast of Australia. I can't think of any novel that so deftly taps into Australia's collective failings as well as this one does. It's like a savage indictment on governmental policy and public neuroses, presented in the form of an absolutely ripper, propulsive and enjoyable read. So they're my five suggestions for pandemic reading in this state of social isolation and quarantine. I hope everyone stays safe and healthy and get some great reading done.
Bram Presser, he's the author of The Book of Dirt, published by Text. That's the theme from The Walking Dead, and it's natural, isn't it, after hearing all this contagion talk, to think about zombies. And I've been wondering where the line between contagion lit ends and zombie lit begins. So I've got an expert here to help me. Sarah Juliet Lauro is an assistant professor of English at the University of Tampa, where she specialises in the myth of the zombie. Hi, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how closely related is zombie lit to contagion lit? We've just been talking about contagion in literature.
Well, I really think that actually they can't be separated. So my work specializes really on the fact that you almost can't even separate fiction from reality when you're talking about the zombie, because the origins of the zombie go back to folklore. So it's also impossible to separate out fiction from film, as everybody probably knows, because the zombie really takes root in terms of cinema. So most people give credit to George Romero, whose 1968-69 film, because of, you know, distribution, it's sort of hard to pin down a date on that film. Romero's total inspiration for Night of the Living Dead was actually a novel by Richard Matheson that I think everybody should read. So you asked me for a little bit of a reading list, and I would say this 1954 novella called I Am Legend by Richard Matheson is really a central watermark for zombie history. Even though he calls them vampires, it's about a global plague that takes over and people become transformed into these vampiric creatures that really are so similar to zombies that we might almost classify it as a zombie narrative. And from that point, this literary text infects cinema because George Romero is going to become fascinated by it, and it's going to be the inspiration for Night of the Living Dead. So from there, after George Romero makes zombies literally contagious, a zombie bites a person and they become then a zombie, and they bite another person and that person becomes a zombie, then it's just all bets are off. And from that point on, we really see the zombie becoming increasingly a metaphor for virus and contagion.
Sarah, zombie lit really seemed to peak a few years back when everyone, including me, was reading Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. How do you think this pandemic will affect the popularity or otherwise of zombie literature?
I mean, gosh, that's such an interesting question. On the one hand, I've been wondering whether zombies aren't now too literal, that it's too close to a reflection of what we're actually experiencing, and that maybe it's in times when zombies can sort of act as a metaphor for other things that we're more interested in them. I've wondered if we're not going to see a giant drop off in zombies, but actually I don't think that's so. I mean, some people on Twitter, there's a lot of us actually who call ourselves zombie scholars, and we've, you know, been in communication and saying to each other, perhaps we're more terrified by this than other people because we've read so many zombie stories and we sort of know what to expect. I mean, I have to confess that weeks before anyone else, I bought several rolls of toilet paper. I don't know, it's almost like I've just kind of mentally prepared myself for the absolute worst. But you're right in saying that at the last decade, there have been some great zombie literature that's emerged. I would say personally for me, obviously everyone knows Max Brooks's World War Z, which is so fascinating because it's these little vignettes and it's nothing like the movie. So if you've seen the film and you thought, oh yeah, I saw that, I don't think that that's a reason to dismiss the novel, because what it captured that really didn't translate to the film was that it tells the story of a global pandemic by going across to show all the different countries and how they're responding. So it was very fascinating. And I feel like there is this kind of togetherness that the world is experiencing this crisis all at the same time. And I think that that is a good one to look back at.
You know, these are such great recommendations. I'm wondering if I have it within myself to actually read them right now.
I know. I feel like it's too close. I mean, just I read a text online that was written by some data scientists, and they were really crunching the numbers in terms of how bad this could get. And I thought to myself after reading it, that's more terrifying than any zombie book I have ever read, because it's our real life. And we're really going through it now together. Yes, nobody's going to be hopefully biting each other and spreading the virus that way. But still, it's just too close for comfort.
Well, look, Sarah, you take care over there. Look after those toilet rolls and maybe some light reading for you instead.
I think it's time for a good romance story. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care. That's Sarah Juliet Lauro. She's an assistant professor of English at the University of Tampa.